Well, good morning. Well, that, I know it's cold in here a little bit. The heat was broken, but that was sad, people. Good morning. It is Advent season. We are here once again to spend time entering into the story of the coming of Jesus. And why this is important for us. As Matt was saying this morning, the word Advent means coming. It means this realization of this one who we've been looking for. This today we're going to talk about the hope that is going to be revealed in the one that we have been looking for. And we take time out of this busy season that gets so hectic, right? With dinners and parties and gifts to buy and stores to shop and road rage to have in the parking lot at the mall, right? Like we get so overwhelmed with it that sometimes we don't just stop and listen and hear and remember and think about what this season means. And this Advent season, this coming, represents a time where we can stop and focus our energies on remembering why we are here, why we are celebrating, why we are remembering the things that God has done. Today, we are going to be lighting the first candle of our Advent wreath, which represents the 4 weeks leading up to the celebration of the coming of Jesus at Christmas. And each one of them is symbolic, and each one of them has meaning behind it by which we are taking time to remember specific things. The first candle of our Advent that we light today, hopefully, is... Here we go. It's coming. There's fire. I'm just going to hold it here for a second. Is the prophet's candle. There we go. The prophet's candle that we light today gives us pause to stop and to remember that the coming of Jesus was foretold hundreds, even thousands of years before he came. The coming of Jesus wasn't God's plan B for the planet. No, it was the first plan A for us to be restored unto God. This was something that he has told us about for years coming. And we've seen this, haven't we, in our People of God series that we've been doing now for almost 2 years. And throughout the Old Testament that we've been studying, learning about the people of God who teach us about who God is, we've been reading about this promised Savior. We've been reading about this promised prophet, priest, and king, this anointed hero who would conquer sin and bring hope to the broken world, to bring blessing through the people of Israel. And for hundreds of years, his people, Israel, looked forward to this day. We just sang about it. Oh, come, Emmanuel, and rescue captive Israel. These people who are longing for this restoration that was promised to them, that to heal the brokenness caused by their first parents, Adam and Eve. This hero, as we look in the scriptures, we see him through the eyes of the people of God as we've gone through this series. For Adam and Eve, he was the conqueror who would crush Satan's head. For Abraham, he was the descendant who would bless every nation through the people of Israel. For King David, he was the descendant who would establish his throne for eternity. For Ezekiel, he was the good shepherd that would care lovingly for his people. For Isaiah, he was the virgin born child that would be called Emmanuel, God with us. And through all of these promises foretold, we get this picture. We get this hope that we look forward to, that God is going to reconcile man to him. Even though we've been broken and separated from him, that he has a plan to rescue and bring us hope. And so we gather in this Advent season with specific purpose to remember God's provision and sending of his son, to dwell in the wonder and the awe of Christ. We are retelling the story to ourselves again. We hope to awaken our hearts anew to the wonders of this incarnation, of God sending his Son, to stand in awe of the majesty and marvel at the plan that he has set forth before the foundations of the world. We remember, as Bonhoeffer puts it, that the God of this world draws near to the people of our little earth and lays claim to us. This is what Advent is to represent. One of the ways we want to help you as you take your personal journey through this season is to offer these Advent guides. This was written by a friend of mine from college, Colby Garman, who was a pastor in Northern Virginia. And what he wrote this for was for his kids. He's got little girls that he wanted to be able to walk them through this Advent season and really help them enter into it so they can appreciate it. And so it takes you through what Advent is and what each candle represents. And what we do as a family is we gather together on Sunday nights. We turn off all the lights. We make cookies, make hot chocolate, and we sit down and we read through this guide as we, by candlelight, as we really try to remember and tell the story to us once again of what this means, because we don't want this season to pass by us without us taking this time to enter into it. These are available for you as you leave today, so make sure you grab one of those for your family. Grab some candles today as you're out and spend some time. You know, have some friends over, invite your neighbors over, and just spend some time walking through this together. This first week of Advent, we focus on hope. As we begin our celebration of this season, it's important for us to remember that Christmas and the reason we celebrate this season, it does not begin for us in the manger where Jesus was born. But the hope that we get from this season, that we remember this season, it began in the Garden of Eden where everything went wrong. Because hope rises out of despair. I heard this story once of a ship captain, and he spent many, many years on the ocean. And he would tell you how, he's telling his story of this time we hit this big squall and his ship went down. And he was the lone survivor, the last one off the ship, but the only one that he knew of that were surviving, floating on debris in the ocean. And he was out there for days and days and days, longing and just in despair, ready to give up, ready to die. And then all of a sudden, across the horizon, he sees a ship. And all of a sudden, though he felt like he was dead one minute, the next minute he feels alive. And he tells a story of how, you know, I live my life on this sea, and I've seen thousands of ships on the horizon. But it wasn't until this moment of despair where all hope was lost that all of a sudden this ship meant something powerful and precious to me. This is what we see in the Christmas season. But to see it, we have to understand the brokenness. To truly appreciate the light, you have to understand the darkness. Hope rises out of despair. There is no joy in Christmas without understanding what happened to all humanity at the garden. It's impossible for us to appreciate the depth of hope that this season brings mankind without understanding the brokenness that Jesus came to undo. And the story for us, the story of despair, starts in Genesis 1:1, where in the Bible, God's revelation about himself, man, he begins with declaring his creative acts as he goes and speaks into existence the earth, and everything that he created was good. It was good. He creates earth, was dark, lifeless rock, and then out of the voice of his mouth, he creates light. He speaks it into existence. He separates the darkness from light. And all of a sudden, for the first time, we see things illuminated. Now, I go camping with my kids often, and something happens at night, especially if you're sitting around the fire, and it gets dark, and all of a sudden, like all these things that looked in the light were so clear, and so you knew what they were. Oh, that's a rock, or that's a tree. All of a sudden, they become creatures, right? Different things that the light plays tricks on your eyes, and you see in the darkness things that you didn't see before. Your imagination takes over. But what happens? They turn on their flashlights, and all of a sudden, oh, that's not something scary. It's a rock. It's a tree. Light illuminates. Light shows what the truth about the way things really are. Light is representative in the scriptures of God's presence. James 1:17 says, God is the Father of lights. It represents the truth of the way things really are. And the end of history, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 22 that there will be no sun, that the light from the presence of God will literally light and illuminate everything. And there will be no darkness. There will be no night. Everything will be as it really is in the light. He will manifest himself in light. After God creates the light in Genesis, he fills the earth with creatures, and everything that he has created, he calls it good. He creates this perfect home with plan and purpose and provision, life, place, meaning. Everything that he creates is this beautiful home and this beautiful place for his creation to dwell and to serve and to worship him. He creates out of the dust of the earth man, and out of man's rib woman. He creates them in his image, he says. He fills them with his light, his rule, and gives them this reign over the earth. And their job, they're tasked with this mission to go to all the earth, to be fruitful and multiply, to fill the entire earth with the very image of God. Everywhere they go, his presence and his light, his rule and reign across the planet, to fill the earth with worshipers who reflect the light of this Creator God, the truth of who he is, his reign and rule across the globe. As image bearers, they were walking representations of what God is like. They were reflecting the truth about who God was. Somewhere between chapter 2 in Genesis and chapter 3, there was a rebellion in heaven. And the Bible tells us that Lucifer, who was a most beautiful angel, was filled with pride and desire to raise his throne above the throne of God. Satan's desire to usurp God's rule of the planet meant he had to steal that which he could not create. And so he had to steal and create, or he had to steal Adam and Eve as worshipers from God. And this is exactly what he did as he lies to them in the garden, convinces them that really God is not for you, but you can be for yourself. Just take this fruit and eat of it, and you shall have knowledge. You shall be like God. And they take and they eat, and immediately the Bible says their eyes were opened, and everything that was good, everything that God had created for them in this perfect home, was broken and shattered. We call this the fall of man, the curse. Darkness enters in. So Adam and Eve joined Satan in his rebellion against God, and instead of being a light bearers of the kingdom of God as they were created to be, instead of exposing falsehood with truth, instead of shining light in darkness, they joined the lie of God's enemy. They joined forces with the kingdom of darkness, the antithesis of everything that God stood for. And all of their children after them, you and me, joined them in this. From here on out in the scriptures, the light is symbolic of the kingdom of God. Light and darkness represents rebellion and wickedness in the kingdom of darkness. 1 John 1:5 says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Romans 5 tells us this, for one man sent into the world, and death through sin, and death spread to all men. We all became dead the moment that Adam took that fruit and ate of it. We became servants and slaves to God's enemy. We are born in darkness, brokenness, despair. The beautiful world created for us to experience God and worship him has been ravaged, and we are left with brokenness and tsunamis and death and cancer and broken relationships. And it's horrible. It's shipwrecked. And we are out in the middle of the ocean, floating on debris, longing, hoping for something across the horizon. We are under what the Bible says is the shadow of death, the reign of death, Psalms 107:14. Satan, in his usurping of Adam and Eve, becomes the illegitimate ruler of a kingdom of darkness. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 puts it this way, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." What we learn from this scripture is there is a war on. There's a battle raging. Light versus darkness in the world. All mankind is thrown into the dark. We have all become prisoners. We read this scripture every Christmas in Luke chapter 1, verse 19. It says that those who are sitting in darkness have seen a great light. This is our plight. This is the world in which we live. And sometimes we don't even realize it, because if you only have seen darkness, you don't really understand the world in which you live in, the reality in which we face. The people that God created to reflect his light and the truth went dark. The earth was filled with hopelessness, and darkness reigned. Thankfully, now that I've got you all depressed, it doesn't end here. It could have. It could have ended right there. Okay, man messed up, it's over. But in Genesis 3:15, God makes a promise. The first glimmer of hope, the first view of a mast over the horizon, coming to our rescue. In the midst of this terrible day when Adam and Eve rebelled, God's light and rule is replaced with a kingdom of darkness, this shadow of death, and God makes this first announcement and promise and the glimmer of hope. He makes a promise to the serpent, who is Lucifer, this devil, this Satan, who is his enemy, that his head will be crushed by one who will come. A promised seed of the woman who will crush the head of the serpent and undo the chaos that he has caused. This is the proto-evangelion, the first gospel, the first good news, the first glimmer of hope. And the rest of the Bible, and this is what I tell people all the time, you've heard me say this before, that the rest of the Bible is the slow reveal and the slow unveiling of who this one who will crush the serpent's head will be. And through the scriptures, God is slowly painting a picture of what this one will look like. And every time we get a new message, every time we see a new line, every time a new stroke on this painting is complete, we get a better idea of who he is and what he looks like. A hero will come and restore what has been lost. He will heal what has been broken and shed light on what has been made dark. So what does this have to do with the advent of Jesus? Jesus is the hero that the prophets foretold. He is the bringer of hope. We read about him in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, as God promises that the darkness will not go unchallenged, that hope will spring out of this despair. He says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who dwelt in the land of darkness, to them a light has shone. God makes this promise to mankind that we will not suffer under the shadow forever, that a hero will come, that Isaiah calls him a wonderful counselor, mighty God, a prince of peace. Born of a virgin, he would save his people from their sins. He would push back and defeat the darkness. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these prophecies of this one who would come. And Jesus fulfills each one of them. God makes a promise to mankind that we will not suffer under the shadow forever. Our hero will come. A ship is coming over the horizon. The long-awaited hope. We sang this morning, O come, Emmanuel. And so we hear these words of the well-known Christmas song, O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appears, and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Do you feel that? Do you feel that? Do you feel the weight of that as we turn on the news and we see the horrific things that are happening in our planet and our world, and people are doing to people, and things that are breaking and broken and dark? This longing. Because what we celebrate in Advent is not just the coming of Jesus, but that he also is coming. And we look forward to that second coming, that second advent, where all of that is broken that we see here will be undone. The earth is weighed down with darkness, mankind in the shadow of death, this never-ceasing night that does nothing but remind us of our impending punishment and sin. In the depths of this darkness, a thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices after all this time of waiting and hearing about him and longing for him. He's here. He's here. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent his spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. When Adam took that fruit and ate of it and rebelled against God, he cast us all into slavery. And God's saying here, I'm sending one who is going to make you family again, to reconcile you. You were separated because of your sin, and you were apart from him, and there was no hope. But Jesus is coming. The fullness of time had come to make us sons and daughters and family once again. Jesus is God's answer to this promised hero who can end our oppression and free us from slavery to sin. God's Son is the light of the world that shatters the shackles of darkness that we are all born into. He is the promised one who will crush the serpent's head. Jesus bore testimony about himself when he was here on earth, and he says this. He says in John 8:12, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have light, have the light of life. All those who put their trust and faith in Jesus, who God saves through the work of Jesus on the cross, will not be in darkness anymore, but walk in light. This is what we are to remember this season. Not all who will follow him. The scriptures make that clear as we read through it. Not all will believe. Not all will see him as the hope that we've been longing for. Not all will recognize him as the light bringer, as the chain breaker. Some men, the Bible says, love darkness rather than light. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 says, in this case, the God of this world has blinded their minds of the unbeliever to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Do you hear that? It's God who spoke light into existence, speaks light into the heart of all who believe. This season of joy and this season of celebration, the most profoundly sad reality is that for some, this light is not a joy, but a terror. For some, they shield their eyes and cover their ears because they don't want to see, they don't want to hear, they don't want to know. They would rather stay in darkness. So many hate Christmas, not because of the trees or the presents, because of Christ. Let me remind you this morning that, friends, it is for these people that we are here. After Christ died for the sins of the world, he accomplished the payment for death that we all owed God. He rose from the dead, conquering sin, death, hell, and the grave. He conquered the shadow of death that hangs over every man. And then he points to his disciples and he says, as the Father sent me, so send I you. On the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, where Christ charges his kingdom people to be salt and light, he says to the kingdom people that you are the light of the world. You all once hated the light. Now we take it to the ends of the earth, pressing back against the darkness. Restored image bearers of God who take his light into the earth like Adam and Eve were supposed to. This Advent season reminds us that we were once in darkness, and God, through Christ, has again filled us with his light. It all comes full circle. Where Adam and Eve failed to carry the light and the rule of God to the planet, the second Adam, Jesus, now enables God's reign and rule and light through the hearts of those who believe in him and who have received his salvation And we are to share the hope that was in us, the light, the reign and rule of God that gives us, and we spread it like fire through all humanity. We who have been freed from darkness, we who walk in light as he is in the light, now are the ones who represent Christ to the earth, spreading his name and his word and his rule and his reign to all who will see, opening our mouths and speaking the truth of the light of the gospel, the good news of Jesus to anyone who would hear, that our hero has come. Our rescue is here. We see it on the horizon. It is on its way. The birth of God in the flesh in Bethlehem was the opening salvo of God's war on sin, death, hell, and the grave. And what the scriptures tell us, friends, is that this battle will rage until Christ returns and every knee bows and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Through Jesus, God turns the lights back on in the darkness, begins to press back against the lawlessness and the darkness that casts a shadow over all of us, that impacts us every day as we drive down the road. Until Christ returns, we are to be salt and light. We are to be lights of the world, once again reflecting the light of Christ to the darkness. The light of God is put in our hearts, bringing hope in Jesus to hopeless places. As people who have seen the light, as people who have experienced this regenerative work that God has wrought through his coming of his son and his death on the cross and his restoration of us into family, we press back against the darkness by sharing the good news of the hope of the gospel, the salvation offers that God offers to all humanity. We live out the ethics of the new kingdom, this new family that we've become a part of, that we are no longer these people who wallow in darkness, but now we serve a new king and a new kingdom, walking in light. This means where we see the effects of the sin and the darkness that has wreaked havoc on our world, we press back against it. We engage the world in darkness and love our enemies, minister to those who are feeling the effects of the kingdom of darkness, and seek justice for the oppressed and the afflicted. James chapter 1, verse 27 says, this religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. This is what we are to do. To press back against the darkness, to be representatives and image bearers of the light of God to the dark place of the world. That where we go, when we see the effects of this fall that is all around us, we say, no, it's not okay, and we're going to press back against it and live out the ethics of the kingdom of God that fills us with light. Micah 6:8 says, he has told you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. We have a mandate given to us by our King to share the light of the gospel and to live out justice and mercy for those who are afflicted by darkness. And this is our mission. This is what we are to do. Every Advent season, we try to take some time and focus our energies and really pressing back against the darkness here in our local community and globally. This Christmas, we are, this Advent season, we are taking time and taking resources and taking energies to raise funds as a church for Love 146 and encourage our local engagement and our local capital region volunteer teams. Many of you know of Love 146, but those of you who don't, Love 146 is a non-governmental organization committed to the complete abolition of child sex trafficking. We've had a long history here at Terra Nova of partnering with Love 146 in this effort. This is something, friends, that happens all around us, happens right here in our backyard and across the globe, and it is darkness. And it is something that we need to press back against where we see it. Love 146 is pressing back against the darkness and helping those most vulnerable among us, those who every day live in the fallout of pure evil. So this Christmas, we are raising funds for the Love 146 Round Home and Aftercare Safe Home in the Philippines, where girls who are rescued from trafficking are cared for in a safe home, a safe place where they can heal and be restored. Little kids as young as 3 months old, rescued from places where they're sold for the pleasure of other people. And they're cared for and they're loved and they're walked with. We're going to be raising money for the White Home, which is also an aftercare safe home for young boys who have been trafficked in this way. We are going to be presenting that on Facebook. There's ways in which you can give. Pastor Daniel will be sharing that a little bit later today. We are also asking this, that we don't want to just be a people who press back against the darkness by clicking a link and sending some money, but we want to engage right here where we are. Love 146 has a Capital Region volunteer team that serves right here in our community. They work right here in this area, in our own backyard, to engage our community, to serve. They serve local efforts of combat trafficking through community outreach and caregiver training right here in our backyard, and you can be a part of that. They meet on a regular basis here. They serve Love 146 by going out and creating awareness and educating the people around us of how to identify trafficking and press back against this, because this is darkness. And we as people of God must be a people who press back against the darkness, living out the light that he has given us. And so as you leave today, there's going to be information downstairs as you walk out the door. I hope that you stop by and talk to the volunteers that are going to be there who can help you understand how you can engage in fighting against this horrific darkness that we see in our world. I would like to close today with reading this scripture, and I'd like you to do this. Close your eyes. Listen to these words. Hear them, feel them. Celebrate this light that has come into the world. It's John 1:1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in the beginning, he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, and all that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness of the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed on his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. God, we live in a dark world. A world that is ravaged by sin. A world that is ravaged by brokenness. God, has impacted every one of us. We are those people on the ship longing for rescue. And in our darkest moment, when the fullness of time had come, you sent forth your Son, the one who was prophesied about for hundreds of years, the one we've been waiting for and longing for. He's here. Let us feel the weight of that, God, this Advent season. Let us think and dwell on this as we sit down with our families, as we ponder the things that you have done and the plan that you wrote before the foundations of the world to reconcile us and bring us back to you. Let us be overwhelmed by the beauty of it. Let us be overwhelmed by the hope that comes only through the incarnation, the coming of your Son to earth to walk with us, Emmanuel, God with us. Let us feel the weight of it this season, Lord. Let us appreciate and worship and respond for all that you have done through your Son. In your name we pray.